Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A once-in-a-lifetime trip in May for a woman in Australia quickly turned into a harrowing experience when she suffered a bite while feeding a shark, which then dragged her into crocodile-infested water.
Of course! Where else on earth would this take place but Australia?
Melissa Brunning was on a yacht in the northwest part of the country when she tried to hand-feed up to four tawny nurse sharks swimming around her boat. She didn't realize that she shouldn't hand-feed a shark until the animal became, quote, like a Hoover, sucking her right index finger into its mouth, full rows of razor-sharp teeth.
Jeez.
She said, the only way that I can describe it is this immense pressure, and it felt like it was shredding it off to the bone. I came up, and I was like, I've lost my finger. My finger's gone. The shark also pulled her into the water of Dugong Bay, which is inhabited by saltwater crocodiles that can grow up to 23 feet long and weigh more than a ton.
Oh, no thanks.
And where's the only place you can find saltwater crocodiles? Australia.
The entire harrowing encounter was captured on video, which shows Brunning screaming as she is dragged into the water before the boat's crew and her friends pulled her out. So there weren't any crocodiles that were there at the moment, but could have been.
I guarantee you that the crocodile paid the shark to pull her in.
By the way, nurse sharks are bottom dwellers that are mostly harmless to humans. They are up to about 14 feet long. They have very strong jaws filled with thousands of tiny serrated teeth. The sharks will bite and act defensive if they are stepped on or bothered by divers who assume that they're docile. Brunning sustained cuts, a fracture, a torn ligament, a bad infection from the bite, but did not lose her finger. The 34-year-old said the incident was, quote, completely my fault and just a blonde doing a stupid thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just throw it into the water.
Yeah, don't.
Just throw it into the water.
Don't feed by hand.
I had a shark scare this weekend. I was swimming in the crest, and I had a lifeguard, like, whistling and yelling at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I automatically thought,
shark.
Shark!
Shark!
Yeah. Well, I was headed towards a riptide area that, you know, so there was, like, no swimming in one little section, and I was swimming towards it, and he was telling me to get away from that section.
Dude, you asked me to call you when the fudgy wudgy bars were around.
I just assumed it was a great white shark he was warning me about.
Did you haul ass?
Oh, my God, did I freak out? Yeah. I was freaking out.
Were you running on the water?
Did you scream?
No, I did not scream. But I didn't know what to do. I'm like, I'm not supposed to flail because the sharks will see that.
Dude, trust me. All of us have been in the water. You're there maybe up to like chest deep and something brushes against your leg.
Oh, yeah.
Shark!
Yeah, now, exactly.
Another part of the story is there was a sandbar. So I might have been standing in about 8 inches of water.
Seriously.
Well, I mean, what if it was a great white flat shark?
Yeah, I know,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It was a great white flounder. Police say a 95-year-old Maine man beat a rabid fox to death with a wooden plank.
That's a Maine man.
Yeah, he's 95 years old. Police say this is the third person to be attacked by a rabid fox in the past 10 days.
So this son of a bitch comes attacking me and I beat him to death.
Robert Galen was working on his deck Monday when he encountered the 10-pound fox. The fox bit Galen's foot but didn't break the skin. He said he picked up a wooden plank when he saw the fox, quote, looking him right in the eye.
Right in the eyes, and I figured this thing's got to be 9-10 pounds.
And listen, Galen said it took him about 10 minutes to beat the fox to death. So he's just
pounding away. He was hoisting the wood up and letting it drop of its own weight.
Well, he's 95 years old.
His own cat is 14 pounds.
He injured his back after falling during the struggle. Animal control officials test the animal. Sure enough, it had rabies.
It had rabies.
So killing it was the right thing to do.
Did the right thing.
Galen said he didn't contract the virus, so thank goodness.
I murdered it dead.
Police in Germany have arrested a man who may have murdered 21 of his co-workers by poisoning their lunches in a killing spree stretching back to 2000.
Whoa!
Authorities have launched an investigation into the long string of deaths after the metal fillings worker was caught sprinkling a toxic substance on one of his colleagues' sandwiches. The 56-year-old, named only as Klaus O by tabloid magazines, was arrested in May. The would-be victim alerted his bosses at the metal fillings firm after finding white powder on his food, and after they reviewed security footage, the company contacted police. The investigators soon identified the sprinkled substance as lead acetate, which is highly toxic and near tasteless. Ingesting the compound can cause serious organ damage and death. Lead acetate is commonly used to make cosmetics, and before its toxicity was recognized, it was used in artificial sweeteners, believe it or not. Upon searching the suspect's home, officers discovered poison-making materials, including mercury, lead, and cadmium.
So 21 people over the course of a few years.
Since 2000. Police have now widened their probe to include 21 employees at the same factory who have died since 2000. Many died of cancer or heart attacks, which could have been caused by heavy metal poisoning. A lead poisoning is very rare, and it's difficult to detect. Common symptoms include paralysis, shaking, dizziness, and bleeding gums, all of which can be attributed to other more common illnesses.
What was the tipping point?
The guy had the stuff sprinkled on his, and they looked at security footage. So another two employees are currently in a coma, and a third relies on dialysis treatment.
Dear God.
Police are considering exhuming the 21 bodies to conduct further tests, and will interview the doctors who treated the deceased as well as family members. The suspect so far has remained silent and given no indication as to a possible motive. How messed up is that, man? After suffering a series of mysterious health problems, an Alabama woman finally discovered what was causing them, a 50-pound ovarian cyst.
Oh, jeez.
50 pounds?
Yes. Doctors removed the benign growth, diagnosed as a mucinous castadenoma in May. She said, I couldn't even walk to my car without losing my breath.
I thought that was a flamenco dancer.
Kayla Ron is her name. Ron said that she was plagued by stomach issues, pain, and weight gain for months before the surgery. Doctors initially told her she needed to lose weight, but Ron said she'd continue to get heavier no matter what she did.
Look at this.
It was frustrating, but joked that I legit looked like I was a solid 9 months pregnant. Yeah, it's huge. It looks like bigger than a beach ball.
Absolutely.
And weighs 50 pounds. She said another diner at a restaurant even asked her if she was going to have twins at some point. When the discomfort became unbearable, she went to the emergency room at Jackson Hospital. And after multiple tests, doctors found the large growth. Ron said she was thrilled to finally figure out what was going on and is now enjoying the added bonus of, once again, wearing all the clothes in her closet.
Mm.
She's now urging others who are suffering from an unexplained malady to keep pushing their doctors for answers and to be a strong advocate for themselves. So that's messed up, man.
Yeah.
Huge. That thing is gigantic.
And they were ready to dismiss that.
Yeah. That she needed to lose weight.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
To celebrate her 29th birthday, Katie Malone strapped into a parasail in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, embraced herself for an adventure high above the water. Well, the first few minutes went just fine. But at some point in the ride, Malone saw that the boat supposedly pulling her along was going one way and she was flying in the other direction.
Uh-oh.
Approaching land. The line connecting them had snapped. Oh, she realized. Yeah, exactly. Her terrifying flight ended when Malone crash landed about, get this, 45 minutes later.
Oh. So it was a windy day, too, right?
At an airport nearly 2 miles away. She stayed up there moving around for 45 minutes. Yes, the crash left her with a broken pelvis, 4 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, and a blow to the left-hand side of her face. After 18 days in a Mexican hospital, Malone returned to the U.S. on Tuesday for more treatment in San Diego.
Are those parachutes, they're meant to be, at least by design, aren't they meant to be, they're not like an average parachute you would jump out of a plane with, correct? They're meant to catch the air a little bit more.
I don't know exactly, and I didn't see video footage. It says here parasail, so okay. I don't know if it's different than
parachute.
But parasailing,
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the difference is between those.
Parachutes usually are like one uninterrupted piece of fabric. Parasails, yeah. The ones that I see kind of have like little
vents.
Yeah. All right, I almost
you guys
said
ever
windows.
Done it?
I have. Parasailing? Over the Virgin Islands, okay. Which was gorgeous.
It is. It's really pretty, but after a little bit amount of time, you're kind of bored.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, you're floating up there, and it's not that much fun. It's not very dynamic.
So, obviously, the wind carried her for a stretch. After 18 days, she finally returned, like I said, back to the U.S. Despite the injuries, the crash could have been much worse for Malone. At one point, she came so close to hitting one of the balconies at the resort that she could actually hear the people screaming.
Wow.
After the line connecting her to the boat broke, she started traveling down the coastline. From previous skydiving experiences, she knew to use her feet as an anchor. So she grabbed the rope with her feet, put her hands in the air, and then steered the parasail as best she could with her feet, her brother said.
That's
pretty smart.
Said she was praying the whole time for her safety. She was mostly concerned about breaking her arms and legs. She passed out about 20 minutes in. I don't know why. Even after Malone crash landed, there were more issues. Her brother said an alligator was by the fence near where she landed, and rescue workers had to scare the beast away to reach her.
What a great vacation.
When the family told her about the alligator, Malone says that she laughed and thought it was hilarious. Her family later watched a video of her terrifying flight that was filmed by one of her friends, but she survived, which is miraculous.
You'd like to think that those things stay attached.
Yep. How about this story, gang? A man died in the sex dungeon basement of a top Hollywood executive while he was being mummified in plastic wrap and gaffer's tape.
Oh, boy.
This is a game of sorts. So Doran George, 47 years old, suffered sudden death during recreational mummification bondage.
I have not heard of mummification bondage.
At the Los Angeles home of Skip Chasey, who is apparently an exec and a top Hollywood executive. This was at his home. According to Los Angeles coroner, George, a British-born UCLA professor and dancer, was found in the 62-year-old's dungeon in Los Feliz. Chasey works as a television business affairs executive at Hollywood agency William Morris Endeavor. He's known in the BDSM community as Master Skip, and has given more than 250 different speeches and workshops on the topic.
I'm sorry, Master Skip?
Yeah.
It went with Skip, huh?
That is a bad dominatrix name.
Chasey, who is a co-founder of People of Leather Among You, or PLAY, has the motto, blood may be thicker than water, but leather is thicker than blood.
All sorts of things they have.
A spokesperson said, while we were unaware of the circumstances surrounding this personal matter until now, we understand that the police file is closed and no charges were brought. If other facts develop, we will reevaluate the situation and determine any appropriate action to take. Chasey will be keeping his job with the company, by the way. So it's been no secret that this is his lifestyle.
His thing, and so it was consensual.
Yeah.
What was the specific cause of death? Suffocation?
No, he didn't suffocate.
Mummification?
No, mummification was the bondage, the game that they were doing. But it says he suffered sudden death.
Wow.
During recreational mummification bondage.
I know both you and I are very concerned with our own dungeons to maintain a high degree of safety.
So look at this. There was a picture of somebody taped up and plastic wrapped up, and that's what they do, and that's their thing. So pretty wild. All right, we only have time for one more. I apologize, but we got to wrap this up. A notorious French criminal who is serving a 25-year murder sentence for death of a police officer in a botched robbery was broken out of prison yesterday by several heavily armed men who landed a helicopter in the prison courtyard.
Wow.
Unarmed guards were helpless to stop it as the men took away Rejon Faid, who had been with his brother in the visitor's room.
You're in that helicopter, and you're nothing but a chameleon, lemon-headed, coward, terrorist, and I'm after you, buddy.
French media reported that the pilot had been taken hostage at a flying club, but was later released unharmed.
This is out of countless movies.
This is the second prison escape for the 46-year-old Faid, who once blasted his way out of a different prison using explosives that had been hidden in tissue packs.
In tissue packs?
Yeah, Faid led a gang in the 1990s that robbed banks and armored vans. Isn't that wild?
Mr. Majestic, I think, is a movie where they have a prison escape out of a prison with a helicopter like this.
I told you guys there was a guy that I flew with in St. Louis who was a traffic reporter, and he had actually thwarted a hijacking. He shot and killed the guys that tried. They were going to try and rescue their friend out of prison using a helicopter, and he wrestled the gun away and shot and killed him.
It's an astonishing story.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.